ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायण।
So today we'll chant this verse which we have been discussing for every Sunday. So this verse appears in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5. The chapter is entitled Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad vacha, shravanam kirtanam Vishnu, smaranam pada sevanam, archanam vandanam dasyam, sakyam atmanivedanam iti punsarpita Vishnu bhaktishche navalakshana kriyet bhagvatyadya tanmanne dhit muduttama. So the translation, Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering Lord one's best friend and surrendering everything unto him, in other words, serving him with body, mind and words. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Since today we are discussing exclusively about Pada Sevanam, We'll read the Srila Prabhupada's purport regarding the Pada Sevanam. Pada Sevanam, according to one's taste and strength, hearing, chanting and remembrance may be followed by Pada Sevanam. One obtains the perfection of remembering when one is constantly thinks of lotus feet of the Lord. Being intensely attached to the thinking of the Lord's lotus feet, it's called Pada Sevanam. When one is particularly adherent to the process of Pada Sevanam, this process gradually includes other processes such as seeing the form of Lord, touching the form of Lord, circumambulating to the form of Lord or the temple of the Lord, visiting such places as Jagannath Puri, Dwarka, Mathura, to see the Lord's form, and bathing in Ganges or Yamuna, bathing in the Ganges and serving pure Vaishnava is also known as Tadiya Upasanam. This is also Pada Sevanam. The word Tadiya means in relationship with the Lord. Service to Vaishnavas, Tulsi, Ganga and Yamuna are included in Pada Sevanam. All these processes of Pada Sevanam help one advance in spiritual life very quickly. Om Akyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Vena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. So Srila Prabhupada is describing here, Pada Sevanam means that one is very intensely attached to the thinking of Lord's lotus feet, it's called Pada Sevanam. And then he includes many other things in the list of Pada Sevanam. So if you just think about intensely attached to the thinking of Lord's lotus feet, how this can be attained? As all of us know, that if you want to approach the Supreme Lord, first we have to please his devotees. That's why Srila Prabhupada has given us this morning program in which every day we worship our spiritual master. And the first verse that we sing in his glorification is Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadma. So this verse or this particular line is like a master key by which you can understand how one can constantly think about the Lord. The first, he has to surrender or he has to develop intense attachment to one's own spiritual master. And when we have intense attachment to one's own spiritual master, that in turn will result into intense attachment towards the lotus feet of Supreme Lord. Because there is no way we can directly approach the Supreme Lord. So this is the method given. And every day morning we sing this whole prayers for the glorification of this our spiritual master. So what does this mean? That why the lotus feet of spiritual master are so much glorified? There has to be certain qualities. What is that that attracts us to his lotus feet? So disciples of Srila Prabhupada has given very nice analogy in this regard. They gave the example like here, the Guru's lotus feet is compared with the lotus. So lotus is a flower which is very attractive, very beautiful. At the same time, it can give us nice honey also. So they say that there is a bumblebee. It goes from flower to flower in order to suck the honey from different flowers. And there is another flower which is in Sanskrit, it's called Ketki. This flower is very, very fragrant. It has got very sweet, strong smell. But this plant is like that of a rose tree, a rose plant which has got a lot of thorns. So this Ketki flower comes on a plant which is very thorny plant. So when a bumblebee goes to get honey from that flower, in the process what happens, because it's got so many thorns, its wings, they get torn in the process. So it's going after a pleasure, but in the process what happens is it gains some pain also. So while getting that honey, she is tormented by this misery or pain, and then she leaves that flower in searching for another place where there will not be any torture, there will not be any pain. Then ultimately it arrives at lotus flower where she can suck honey without any difficulty. So what we say, acharyas, they say that every living entity is wandering in this universe in so many species of life. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam in 7th canto, where Yudhishthira Maharaj asks this question to Narad Muni, that I am grihastha and I am attached to so many things, is there any way by which I can get salvation? So in that process, Narad Muni explains so many things and ultimately establishes the pure devotional service is the only thing that can give you relief from all your miseries. And then explaining about various processes, Narad Muni tells him that yoga process you have to do like this, and if you adopt the process of performance of yajnas, by performing these kinds of yajnas, you offer these things in the sacrificial power, and then the celestial smoke that comes, that can take you to the higher planetary systems. But what happens if somebody goes in higher planetary systems? He can stay there only for some time, only to the extent of his pious credits. And once his pious credits are over, then you have to come back again. So when the rain comes, so you have to come, the spirit soul comes along with the rain. Then it goes in the form of herbs, creepers or plants. Then some animals may eat or some human being will eat. And then the spirit soul goes in the semen, then that is injected in the female body. And that's how, according to your karma, you will get a particular type of body. So like this, we keep on roaming around in lower planetary system, middle planetary system, upper planetary system, and we get various kinds of bodies in 84 lakh species of life. And then ultimately we come to this human form of life. And in human form of life, we are always trying to seek pleasures, but inevitably we are forced to accept pain also. So then what happens? In the process of getting some pleasure, we are forced to have some pains. As in case we see this bumblebee, she is going on Ketki flower and getting some honey, but in the process it gets torn. But ultimately when it attains the lotus flower, all her miseries come to an end. She can purely suck the honey. So similarly the scripture says that a fortunate spirit soul, that after wondering this, when he attains to the lotus feet of his spiritual master, all his miseries can be stopped. That's why it is said that Brahmanda Bhramite Kon Bhagyavanji Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Latavish. That means after this wondering, when ultimately one comes to the lotus feet of his guru, then he can get the honey that is coming out from guru's lotus feet, and all his miseries can be put to an end. Because this whole world is considered as a samsara damanala. That means this is a forest of material enjoyment. And this forest sometimes is, in the forest there is a fire. It is not started by any person. On its own it starts, and all the animals in the forest, they are burnt. So similarly, a conditioned living entity is suffering in this material world. But when he attains the lotus feet of a spiritual master, his miseries come to an end. So they say that the honey that is collected only from the lotus flower has got a special quality. If you go to Ayurvedic Kaviraj, they say that this honey which is specifically collected from the lotuses has such a medicinal value that it can cure your eye disease. So if you have some problem in the eye, then you can't see properly. If there is some impurities in the eyes, you can't see properly. But if you apply this honey to your eyes, the impurities are removed and again you can see clearly. So similarly, the honey that is emanating from the lotus feet of a spiritual master has capacity to cure your disease of a heart. So in the heart, we have got so many impurities, and these impurities can be removed by rendering service unto the lotus feet of spiritual master. Because what this honey that is emanating from lotus feet of spiritual master can do is, it can award you a Divya Chakshu. It can award you a knowledge by which you can transcend this Bhavasagar, this ocean of material nascence, and go back to the spiritual world, which is our eternal home. So that's why anyone who wants to have intense attachment to the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead must first learn how he develops an intense longing for spiritual master's lotus feet. So how do we develop that mood? So we have to understand how glorious one spiritual master is. Because the spiritual master is able to deliver us from this material world. So that's why his position is transcendental. So the scriptures describes even the body of a spiritual master is considered as a transcendental. We are talking of a spiritual master who is a bona fide spiritual master who comes in a bona fide disciplic succession. We are not talking about any guru or self-made gurus, because in India it's like a supermarket of various kinds of gurus. You can get guru according to your desire. But the guru that we are discussing today is a bona fide spiritual master who has capacity to deliver his disciples from the ocean of birth and death. So this spiritual master has to be given the highest respect. And as we said, that because he is connected in a proper disciplic succession to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Supreme Personality of Godhead is a transcendental personality, so because of this connection, Guru also gets the same potency. As like, there are so many companies, they manufacture bulbs. But when this bulb is connected to the powerhouse, only that time it can give a light. So when a Guru is connected properly to the disciplic succession, it has power to give us a knowledge. So such a spiritual personality, his body has to be considered as transcendental. His instructions also has to be taken as one's life and soul. But sometimes we find that there may be apparent defects or shortcomings in the spiritual master's appearance or other things. But Rupa Goswami gives a principle in Upadeshamrita, where he says in that verse that a learned person knows the bathing in a Ganges can purify us. But sometimes in a Ganges we find that a lot of impurities. Sometimes cities, they put sewage also in a Ganges water, or some dead bodies are floating in. But intelligent person knows that the water of Ganges is pure and it will always remain pure. And with that faith, he takes bath in the Ganges and gets purified. So similarly, there may be apparent some contradictions or some shortcomings that may come to our mundane vision because of our defective vision. But still, if you keep a faith and serve the spiritual master, in the process, you will get purified. And then we see that how one has to serve the spiritual master. It has to be done with proper determination. The verse that comes in Srimad Bhagavad Gita about the determination is Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. So this verse says that intelligence of a person whose resolute in purpose is very fixed and his aim is one. So whereas a person is not determined, his intelligence is many-branched. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives very nice commentary to this verse. And Srila Prabhupada writes that in the year in 1950, when I read this verse, I got lot of spiritual realization from this verse. Because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that once you get initiated from a proper guru, you should seek only pure devotional service, and should completely give up all other process of speculation, jnana or austerities. And your mind should be totally fixed on serving your spiritual master. And that's how we see that Srila Prabhupada got his life mission in very first meeting with his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He gave him the mission that you are a learned person, you preach this message of Krishna consciousness to the Western world. And Srila Prabhupada took these instructions to his heart, and getting inspiration from this commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his whole life was fixed in serving this instruction. And then one has to understand that when we are approaching our spiritual master, we should never approach him with the intention of getting any material benefit. When Srila Prabhupada was traveling in America, and when he was in Washington, one old woman came there and she requested Srila Prabhupada that please give me some blessings. I have this back pain and you are a big guru, big Swami coming from India. Please give me some blessings so that my back pain is relieved. So Srila Prabhupada was saying in a lecture that when you are approaching a spiritual master, you must know what to ask from him. We should not be asking for relief from such a small thing. It is said like if you approach a wealthy person, if he asks a small thing, it's an insult to that person. We have seen in this 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vamandev approached Bali Maharaj and asked for 3 steps of land, the Bali Maharaj started laughing. He said, "I rule 3 worlds, upper, middle and lower planet system, the whole heavenly planet belongs to me, and you are approaching me and ask, you are such a drop person, small person, asking for just 3 steps of land, should ask something big." So in that Vamandev replies, if a person is greedy, for such a person you can give all the wealth in the world, all the gold, all the silver, all the jewels, and still his hunger will not be satisfied. So Srila Prabhupada was making this point that if you are approaching a spiritual master, there has to be only for getting oneself out from this cycle of birth and death. When Srila Prabhupada was mentioning, we are starting this Gurukul. So what is the purpose of starting Gurukul? So that the students can get out of cycle of birth and death. That is our purpose. So when we approach a spiritual master has got such a tremendous capacity that he can completely stop all your miseries. He can get you completely out of this 84 lakh species of life. So if he can avoid this highest transcendental knowledge, then why ask for such a small thing as a cessation of some of our material miseries? And then it is said that if you want to have a proper attachment to the lotus feet of your spiritual master, the service that you do has to be done with love and devotion. So how we do this, how we understand this? Like we many times get a lot of service in the course of our life. Let us say like when you go to the restaurant, a waiter there also comes and serves you. Or if you are traveling in airlines, air hostess will also come and serve you. But their service is based mostly with some material intention. The moment if a waiter comes to know that you have no capacity to pay the bill, he will catch your neck and throw you out of the hotel. But a mother, when he serves his child, mother not only just gives a milk, but a milk is given with so much of love, and that love ultimately nourishes a child. So when first we are rendering service to our spiritual master, our mood should be that of loving service. It shouldn't be just we are doing out of compulsion or out of force, but we have to add this one ingredients which makes the whole thing very sweet. There's a process. If you want to see the Lord, many times we get challenges where people say, "Can you show me the God? Can you show me God?" But the scripture gives us very clear-cut instruction, Premanjana Charita. If you have your eyes anointed with love and devotion, you can see the Lord. And unless you have a proper devotion, even if the Lord personally comes and stands in front of you, you will not be able to recognize Him. Because Lord Himself was present in front of Duryodhana, but Duryodhana could not understand the position of Supreme Lord. Whereas Arjuna could see because his eyes were anointed with love. And then we see that in order to have a proper attachment to one's own spiritual master's lotus feet, the service that is done, that service has to be total selfless service with absolutely no expectation in return. When we become devotee, we understand some devotee language, we understand some words. Now previously when you write letters, you sign the letters as your dear friend or your faithfully or your sincerely. And when you become a devotee, you sign a letter as your so-and-so servant. We know whatever adjectives we know, we put it in before the servant. But do we mean that? Many times we put so many adjectives before the name servant, and maximum what happens is we come to the level of obedience. Somebody says, do like this. Now we know that we have to serve our seniors, so if they want some water or something, that much level we attain easily. But the real service, that if you want our heart to be properly purified, then one has to put aside one's own comforts so that he can serve the spiritual master. And with that understanding, if you do, that will be accepted by the spiritual master. We have many examples of our glorious devotees, the way they serve the spiritual master, that they accept the spiritual master as life and soul. Like there was an example of one of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple. He would work very hard, and end of the month, whatever paycheck he would get, he would give it to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he knew that whatever is there in my life, it belongs to the Supreme Lord, and in turn it belongs to my own spiritual master. So I should be offering everything that we have in the service of the spiritual master. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would in turn would give some maintenance back to his family. So this is how this devotee understood properly how we serve the spiritual master. So when we say that we serve the spiritual master in this way, now many times we find it's very high or it's very difficult to execute. But actually, to perform devotional service, anyone can do. A person is a child, he can do. Whether he is educated, uneducated, whether he is rich or poor, or person from any nationality or from any religion, can easily perform devotional service. Because ultimately, one has to change one's heart. And a real disciple knows whatever he does in his life, he connects it in the service of spiritual master. You can take the simple example, like the people keep a small deity, or if somebody can't keep the deity, then they keep a small photo of Radha and Krishna or any bona fide avatar of Lord Krishna in his home. And then once you keep that photo in the home, everybody has to cook in your house. If you want to survive, we have to do some cooking. So whatever we cook, we offer it with love and devotion to the picture or to the deities of spiritual master. So then what happens is, your cooking is connected as a service. And then even if you clean the house, you know that they are the proprietors of our house. The house belongs to them. So even if you are cleaning, also becomes connected. It becomes an act of devotion. So gopis perfectly knew how to arrange each of their moment in the service of Krishna. Gopis would bathe them nicely and decorate themselves. But what was their intention? So that Krishna will be pleased. When they are nicely decorated, when Krishna sees them, he'll be pleased. So even if it's an act of just decorating themselves, but because it was connected to Krishna for his pleasure, that activity becomes a pure devotional service. So any person can easily perform this devotional service. But many times what happens is, when we talk about service, is usually it's our lip service. That means from our mouth so many words will come according to our knowledge and according to our vocabulary knowledge. Now we can use so many words, but that is considered as a lip service. The service has to come from our heart. So that real bhav has to come. Then only one is able to develop an attachment to one's own spiritual master, and in turn that attachment will result in developing attachment to the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have received like Indradumna Maharaj, he keeps traveling in so many western countries, and he has nicely narrated one incident which he had with one of his female disciples. I'll just read a small paragraph from that, then in which we can understand what is the mood of a disciple, in what mood he serves, so that he can attain an intense attachment to one spiritual master. And in devotional service is something which anyone can easily do. What it needs is a determination and proper understanding and willing to sacrifice for the pleasure of Supreme Lord. So he was traveling in different countries. So when he was traveling, he got an invitation from this one of his female disciples to come and visit his home. So because he had so many engagements, he thought of it that if I had to wait, it will be just a small brief visit and I can spend just a small amount of time, because the invitation has come and he thought that I am a spiritual master and spiritual master should not be so busy that he doesn't have any time for his disciples. So out of obligation, just he couldn't refuse, he decides to visit. And it goes like this. They visited, when he went to that apartment, so it was just in one old room, in one old building in the center of city. But as he walked in, he was stuck with the spiritual atmosphere. In that room he just saw there were very few possessions, one chair, one wooden bookshelf, an altar of a deity. But the mood was rich and with devotion. The name, the deity was a Govardhan Shila, the name of deity was Lala. So he was sitting on a beautiful little cushion, beautifully decorated with flowers and simple ornaments, and a variety of sweets were on the plate before him. So the name of disciple was Rangalekha. She was dressed in old sari and sitting in one corner of that room. So Indradumna Maharaj asked her, "So do you live here alone?" Then she replied, saying that, "I am a guest here. This is Lala's house." So Indradumna Maharaj replies it, that this is a very nice realization. And he looks at his watch and he says that, "I have to finish within half an hour because I have a next appointment." Then he has to ask few questions. So he asks, "So well, what do you do each day?" So she replies that, "I distribute Srila Prabhupada's books." "Do you do anything else apart from that?" She says, "No, that's the instruction you gave me 13 years ago. Then Indradumna Maharaj says that, "I stopped looking at my watch because I could not believe my ears that this, I gave instruction to my disciple 13 years ago and she is distributing books for last 13 years. And the local devotee explained that, "Gurudev, all the devotees know her, that she goes out distributing books 8 hours a day, 6 days a week for last 13 years. The only exception is when she is sick." So all the time the disciple was looking at the justice's deity. Then the Maharaj asked, "Why didn't you tell me all these things?" Then the local devotees replied that she is too shy and humble. At this point the tears starts flowing from Indradumna Maharaj's eyes and he says, "Say that 13 years each day on street in this country distributing my spiritual master's books, such austerity this woman is enduring on my sake." And then he was thinking that, "I was complaining last night, I had some difficulties in airlines, whereas this person is distributing Srila Prabhupada's books without any complaint." And the local devotees added some information that, "You can imagine, for so many years on the street, whether it's a heat, rain, wind or snow, sometimes temperature is below 20 degrees Celsius, but still she'll be distributing Srila Prabhupada's book." And further she said that she doesn't keep a rubber for herself, and all the profit that she gets it, she keeps it on the altar, so that when his spiritual master comes, she can hand it over all these profits of his book distribution to him, so that he can use it in Krishna's service. So after that, When devotee spoke like this, the disciple went in front of the deities, opened the drawer in the deities, got $1,500 and handed over to Indradyumna Swami Maharaj and said that you can use it, this money, in serving your spiritual master's mission. So at this stage, Indradyumna Maharaj gives that Lakshmi back to her, saying that you keep this Lakshmi and use it so that you can visit India, holy places, and Mayapur, and the time of Gaur Purnima, you can come and celebrate with the devotees. But she hesitantly refuses this. She's saying that I have collected this donation, I have saved this Lakshmi, so that you can use this Lakshmi in the way you want to be used in your spiritual master service. And this is not meant for my pleasure, it's not meant for my enjoyment, where I can go and do other things. And then he says that I was totally speechless, living simply, serving the Sankirtan mission of Lord Chaitanya faithfully for so many years, desiring no fame or recognition and showing such concerns for the conditioned souls. So like this, she goes on year after year, and ultimately he writes it that Srila Prabhupada always used to say that when I hear the scores of book distribution, I get a new life. So Indradyumna Maharaj was mentioning that when I hear how these disciples, they are rendering such a glorious service, that sometimes it appears that they have more chance of going back to spiritual world than any one of us. So in this case we see that what is the mood of a person, what is the mood of a disciple, is he becomes a simply puppet in the hands of his spiritual world, a spiritual master. The word puppet has got some negative connotations. If you use it, if you are not devotee, and if you don't look it from devotional point of view, usually puppet is not considered as a high thing in material world. We always say, why you becoming a puppet in hands of your friends or your spouse? It's considered as low. But whereas, when you apply the same concept in a spiritual life, it gives us a tremendous boost. We can see, the puppet has completely no independence on its own. It simply executes order that is given to him by the master. And how a disciple is completely absorbed in executing the orders of spiritual master. Once there was a story that we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits South India. And when he visited South India, he found that there is one particular illiterate person who is sitting along with Bhagavad Gita and is trying to read, and tears are coming from his eyes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approaches that person and asks, what are you doing? So he explains that I am trying to read Bhagavad Gita. Then he says that why you are reading Bhagavad Gita? So he replies that my spiritual master gave me an instruction that every day I should read Bhagavad Gita. But the fact is that I am an illiterate person, I don't know how to read. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking, but what about the tears that coming in your eyes? You say you don't know how to read, you can't read a single word that is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, but then why the tears are coming from your eyes? He said, I simply ask for order of my spiritual master. I take this Bhagavad Gita. As I open Bhagavad Gita, I see the picture of Lord Krishna sitting as a chariot driver, and Arjuna is instructing him. In this, Arjuna is saying, ordering the Supreme Lord, please take my chariot in the middle of the battlefield, in front of, in between the two armies. And he says that he is a Supreme Lord, from whom everything comes, and he becomes a servant of his devotees. So when I see this, the tears starts coming from my eyes. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraces this illiterate Brahmana, and he says that actually you have understood the purport of Bhagavad Gita. So what is the qualification of this Brahmana? He is simply following his Guru's order. Because Guru's order is very powerful. If somebody follows it, the success is guaranteed. Only thing is needed is one has to have a faith. As we have seen, Srila Prabhupada also followed the order of his spiritual master, which was almost an impossibility. Because many of Srila Prabhupada's godbrother has admitted that they also read this verse that comes in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where it is stated that Lord's holy name will be spread in all towns in the world. All over the world, Lord's holy name will be spread. But most of them, they thought that this is just a figurative or this is a poetic verse. But they didn't think that actually it will become a reality. But Sri Prabhupada kept the faith in the order of spiritual master and executed. We have seen this example of electric Brahmana. He was not able to read. He didn't argue with the spiritual master saying that I don't know how to read and how can I study Bhagavad Gita every day. But he had a simple faith that if I execute my spiritual master's order, it will be my benefit. So he executed and he reached the stage where the Lord himself admitted that only you know the purports. There were so many Brahmanas there. Well, Sanskrit pandits, they knew all Bhagavad Gita by heart, through and through. They may be able to quote the Sanskrit word with their etymological meanings. But still, the purport of Bhagavad Gita verse was not revealed to them. Because they lacked the main this thing, that the shelter or the attachment to the lotus feet of their own spiritual master. So as we have sufficiently discussed with this point, that regarding the Pada-sevanam, where Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that in order to have intense attachment to the thinking of lotus feet of the Lord, the process that we have done is, the first step is that we have to take in our own life, that we have to surrender ourselves to the lotus feet first, to our own spiritual master. And when we surrender like this to the lotus feet of our spiritual master, then only there is a possibility that we can develop a mood where we can think about lotus feet of the Lord. Why we have to take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord? Because every day we chant prayers to the spiritual master where we say, Kinnama Om Vishnu Padaya. So this is a qualification of a bona fide spiritual master. Why I offer my humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master? Because he has taken firm shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. That is his qualification. And because he has taken firm shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, if I take shelter of such a spiritual master, the success is guaranteed. Otherwise, it's not. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as in Shikshastakam prayers, he says that the life ambition of a devotee is just to become a dust at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And that's how the devotee is always in humble mood. Whenever he presents himself to the Supreme Lord, he is in the mood of humble service. As we have seen in Mahabharata, that there is Arjuna and there is a Duryodhana. And when there was a battle at Kurukshetra, when it was decided that both the parties will fight, there is no chance of peace, both the parties were making arrangement for the battle. And they were approaching different persons so that they can come in their own camp and their numbers, strength can be increased. So Arjuna decided that he will go and approach Lord Krishna in Dwarka. So when Arjuna started going towards Dwarka, Duryodhana comes to know. And Duryodhana knew very well that Lord Krishna has got very vast army. And that army is vast and they have got so many Maharathis like Pradyumna, Satyaki and others. And the army of Lord Krishna was considered as invincible. Nobody could defeat that. So he made material calculation. If Lord Krishna's army is from my side, there is a greater prospectus that I will win the war. And Duryodhana was materially very brilliant. So what he does is, he takes a short route, arrives in Dwarka before Arjuna could reach Dwarka. At the time when both of them they arrived at Dwarka, Lord Krishna was taking rest. And Duryodhana chooses place to sit next to his face near his head. Whereas Arjuna takes his humble position because he is a devotee. So natural position of devotee that he takes a humble seat in front of the Lord. So he sits next to the feet. So just by this simple act, a person who is a pride, person who is a proud, he will always try to see the Lord face to face. He will be always trying to see that he is first. Whereas what happens is, a person who keeps himself first is the last in the eyes of God, and a person who keeps last is the first in the eyes of God. So Duryodhana, though he had such a material intelligence, but ultimately that intelligence did not help him. Because Arjuna knew the technique that if you take a shelter at the lotus feet of Lord, you will be successful. So he naturally chose to sit near the lotus feet of the Lord. And just by that, he could ultimately be a successful. Because Lord's lotus feet are such a glorious that anyone who develops an attachment towards the Lord's lotus feet, that he can get free from all this cycle of birth and death. Then another example we see in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he visited Gaya, and that famous temple he visited, where it's called Gadadhar Shrine, that place, the temple is a lotus footprints of Lord Vishnu. So when he went there to Gaya to perform the Shraddha ceremony of his father Jagannath Mishra, along with the students, he visited this temple. And he saw in that temple this lotus feet footprints of Lord Vishnu. It was decorated nicely with the flower garlands. So many incense, saints were offered to that. And all the Brahmanas were glorifying the lotus feet. They were glorifying, these are the feet in which Lord Brahma was meditating. We have just heard beautiful song of sung by Shivaram Prabhu, that how nicely this song glorifies the lotus feet of the Lord, where it says that Lord Shiva, he also understands what is the value of lotus feet of the Lord. That's why he holds the water of Ganges on his head. So what is the water of Ganges? Is the water that washes the Lord's lotus feet and comes to this material world. And because of that, it has a potency to purify us. And Lord Shiva knows perfectly well, and that's how it takes a firm shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Shiva, his heart is always meditating the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And we have seen Goddess of Fortune, Mother Lakshmi, the Lord has given her place on his chest. But what is her internal craving? She always wants to massage the lotus feet of the Lord. She always wants to take the humble position and serve the Supreme Lord by massaging his feet. Bali Maharaj, though he was Asura, still he knew what is the value of Lord's lotus feet. So he accepts Lord's lotus feet on his head, and that's why he is glorified for that. And we'll be discussing glories in that section in Atmanivedan. So this is how all these Brahmanas were glorifying the lotus feet of the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited this place. That's the same place he visited Ishwarpuri also. And then later we saw that Sankirtan movement was started. So this is a mood when you want to approach the lotus feet of the Lord. if you want to develop intense longing towards the lotus feet of the Lord, one has to understand this humble mood. You have seen in Krishna Lila also, Akrura goes to Vrindavan in order to get Lord Krishna to come to Mathura. So when he was visiting, when he was on the way to Vrindavan, all the time he was constantly thinking about Lord Krishna, Lord Balaram, and how he is fortunate so that he can see them. And as soon as he reached outskirts of Vrindavan, he sees in the dust the footprints of cows and footprints of Lord Krishna. He could easily recognize these are the footprints of Lord Krishna, because the footprints of Lord has distinguishing marks. You will find umbrella, then ankush, that's a goat that uses it to control the elephant, and lotus. So these are the so many, and flag, these are the so many chinnas are there on the sole of Lord's feet. The moment he sees, immediately he jumps off from his chariot, he offers full obeisances, and just by seeing the lotus feet of the Lord, all the aesthetic senses starts manifesting in his body. So this is, Akrura sets a standard, Srila Prabhupada writes that this is how one has to visit the holy dham, that as soon as we reach the holy dham, one has to roll in the dust of the holy dham and in the humble mood meditate on the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. We have seen in, there is one story that comes in Ramayana also, where the glories of Lord Ram's lotus feet are revealed. That Gautam Rishi's ashram is there, it was there, it's there in Nashik in Brahmagiri, which is very close for us. And this Gautam Rishi had a beautiful wife named Ahilya. And naturally Indra got attracted to her, he takes the form of Gautam Rishi, comes, and when ultimately Gautam Rishi discovers the whole thing, he curses Indra and Ahilya, both of them. But what happens is, when the saintly person curses, actually that curse is for the benefit of person who gets cursed. So Indra gets a curse that he has got thousands of eyes on his body. So in one way it was very inconvenient, and people were thinking, he was thinking that how awkward position I am in. But when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this earth 500 years ago, and when he gives mercy to Jagai and Madai, that's the time all the demigods, they come and see the merciful form of Lord. And that's the time all the demigods are present. And all of us, we know that gopis, they always curse Lord Brahma, that when they were seeing Lord's form, the Lord has created eyes and there is eyelids, and eyelids keep blinking it. So that much time they are not able to see the beautiful form of Lord Krishna. So they were saying that how this Brahma is unintelligent, he has created these eyelids that obstructs our constant meditation on the beautiful form of the Lord. So here Indra, that time he was able to behold beautiful form of Lord Gauranga without any interruption. Even though all these thousand eyes, they were also blinking, but at least some particular time, all of the some eyes were constantly looking at the beautiful form of the Lord. So this is how it was benediction for Indra. At the same time, when he gave curse to Ahilya, she was saying, Lord Gautam Rishi said, that there are some impurities in your heart, and you need to get purified of those impurities. And only by taking Lord's lotus feet on your head, you will be relieved. So I am cursing you to become a stone, but after next Treta Yuga, Lord Ram will appear, and when he is passing to this way, he will come and put his lotus feet on your head. And that's the time all impurities in heart will be completely get purified, and again both of us will be able to reunite. And that's how the Ahilya gets a form of a stone. She stays there for thousands and thousands of years. So in one sense, she performed a great tapasya, just remaining in a stone form for so many years. But the benefit that she got was that when Lord Ram was on the way to Mithila for Swayamvar, he was accompanied by sage Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra, when he comes to this place, when he comes to this hermitage, he remembers the curse of Gautam Rishi. And then he tells Lord Ram that you have one duty here. So let us please go to this hermit. Ahilya is staying in this in the form of a stone. And if you put your lotus feet, she will be relieved of this curse. And then Lord Ram goes there. He puts his feet on that stone. And again the stone turns into the beautiful form of Ahilya. And Gautam Rishi also comes there. And both of them, they unite. And then Mother Ahilya also starts praising Lord Ram's lotus feet. And she was saying that actually my husband gave this curse was but for my purification. Because anyone who gets the touch of transcendental body of the Lord, all the impurities in one's heart at once get immediately destroyed. And then Ahilya could again start rendering service at the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is how the lotus feet of the Lord has capable of giving us so much of relief. In this Chaitanya Bhagavad, it is mentioned that if you honestly meditate, half sixpence seat worth time to the lotus feet of the Lord, the Yamraj will have no jurisdiction over you. Such powerful are the lotus feet of the Lord. The slight attachment to that can relieve us from so much of danger. And not only that, even lotus feet of a spiritual master or a pure devotees are also capable of bestowing the same benediction. We have seen that in the South India, Ramanujacharya was one of very eminent acharya. And once he was visiting one particular village, and he was accompanied by one of his disciples, Dashrathi. So he goes to that village. That time Ramanujacharya was very renowned acharya. Now he had many disciples, even some kings were his disciples. He has established so many mutts. And wherever he would go, he was very well received with all reverence, and so many people gave reception befitting to his position. But this particular village which he visited, he was not at all welcomed. Because all this village was not Vishnu worshippers, they were worshipping some other demigod, deities. And all of them, they saw Ramanuja is there along with his disciple, but there was no welcome, there was no reception. Everybody was thinking as if, why have you come to this place? But Ramanujacharya, out of his compassion, he decided somehow or other, I have to bring all these souls to the supreme, to the lotus feet of Supreme Lord. So he discusses the situation with his disciple Dashrathi, and he instructs Dashrathi that you go to this particular lake, because this whole village is taking water for drinking and for cooking from this one particular lake. So you go there, wash your feet in that lake and come back. So Dashrathi was feeling very awkward. He didn't understand what his spiritual master was saying, but being obedient to the order of his spiritual master, goes to that lake, washes his feet, comes back. And then the next day, they find a miracle. That whole village comes at the lotus feet of Ramanujacharya and surrenders to him and starts glorifying him. And if you go today to that village, you will find that there is a small deity of Dashrathi and his lotus feet are there. The name of that village was called a Shaligramam. So previously nobody was worshipping Lord Vishnu in there. Then Ramanujacharya says that now this name is befitting, Now everybody has become a servant of Lord Vishnu. So we can say the lotus feet of even devotees are also that powerful and capable of bestowing the supreme benediction upon us. So mainly we have to see that if we have to have an intense attachment to thinking of Lord's lotus feet, one has to understand what is the mood in which we approach this lotus feet. And once we understand this mood, the rest of the things will be very easy. So we have another example where it's deficient that how one sees the Lord. As everybody comes to temple, so many people come to the temple, we come to this temple for so many years, and we also behold the form of Lord to our eyes. But do we have that attitude where we are able to really see the lotus feet of the Lord? It can be depicted by this very wonderful story. A disciple of Ramanujacharya is a great disciple named Kuresh, and his son was also a very devoted person, and he would always visit Ranganath temple in a very humble mood and always glorify the Supreme Lord. So he was very small in age, but he was very big in merit. And naturally many people were envious of him. There is such a small boy, but he is being glorified so much by the society. So every time, whenever he would come to the temple, he would approach the deities and he would glorify the deities of their, glorify the Supreme Lord for their wonderful qualities. And then next phase of his prayers were, he would discuss about his own faults, about his own arathas. So one day he comes to the temple, goes to the deities, glorifies the deities, and then later part of his prayers, he started telling the deities kind of anarthas that he has in his heart. So he says one anartha. So one such envious person comes and stands right behind this son of Kuresh. So he says, he speaks to the Lord that I have this anarthas. So this person stands behind and says, Satyam. The Kuresh son hears it. He keeps repeating all his faults, and each time this person would say Satyam after he repeats each quality. And then this Parashar Bhatta, the son of Kuresha, runs towards the deity, offers obeisances to the deity, then comes back and offers obeisances to this envious person. And then he tells the deities that, see, every day I come and offer prayers to you, but you don't take notice of that. You neglect my prayers. And I say I have these anarthas, and then today at least there is one witness who says that I have these anarthas. So I am a claimant of your mercy. You please bestow mercy to me. So and then he offers obeisances to this envious person. So envious person's heart gets melted. He sees the humility of this person, that how he is so humble. But the point is, this is the mood by which one has to approach the deities. Then only we can develop an intense desire. There is another story with the same person, where it happens that, as usual, he was glorifying the Supreme Lord, and at the same time he was talking about other things. And another envious person was there, and he started finding so many faults in this Parashar Bhatta, and he went on speaking so many bad things about him. And after he stops it, Parashar Bhatta gets up, takes out his costly shawl and gives it to this envious person. So other persons in the assembly hall, they become bewildered that what is this? This person was abusing you and you awarded him such a nice remuneration. Is this the way to get a remuneration from you? Then we will also abuse you and you can give us so many gifts. So he explained that, see, that when you approach a deity, one has to glorify the deities, which I do it nicely. At the same time, we have to admit our faults also before the deities, in which I am lacking. I am not able to do that. And this person has done it for me. So my prayers becomes complete. So that's why I have to reciprocate to this person for helping me to complete my prayers to my spiritual master, to this my worshipable deity. And then this another same we find that how this humility carries, that once in this Srirangam temple, some other a dog enters into inner parts of the temple. So naturally dog is considered as a lower animal, and then if he comes to the temple is not considered auspicious. So that the priest, they came together, and then they started discussing amongst themselves that we have to perform some purificatory procedure, because the dog, who is the lowest living entity, has come inside. So we should purify the place. So they send an invitation to this son of Quraysh, saying that please come. So all of us have to perform purificatory procedure, because dog has come, place is impure. So the moment he comes to know about this, he immediately rushes to the temple and goes in front of the deities and prays to the deities that today there is a discussion that a small dog came to the temple, so there we have to perform purificatory procedure. But every day I come to the temple, I have so many arathas, so I wonder what kind of purificatory procedure we will have to do it here, because I visit here every day. So this is how a person is very humble, then only he can see the lotus feet of the Lord. In the same Ranganath deity, we have seen that some Acharya gives the explanation. Those who have seen that deity is, Lord Vishnu is resting on Ananta Shesh. So one hand is below his head and another hand is facing towards his feet. So the Acharyas, they explain that the hand that is there below his face, that is indicating that if you want to see the smile on my face, you have to take the shelter of my lotus feet. That is the only way you can attain my blessings. There is no other way, because there are so many people, they consider Lord in different bhav and different spirit. But the point is, unless we take firm shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, there is no possibility that we can get mercy of the Supreme Lord. And we have seen in even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever he would visit Jagannath temple, he would be standing behind Garuda Stambha, and from behind Garuda Stambha he would look at the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath, because he would always think himself unqualified to go right in front. Only on certain occasions when he could not control his ecstasies, he would go right directly in front of the Lord. Otherwise, he would be always standing behind Garuda Stambha, and that's why we find there is an impression on Garuda Stambha of Lord's fingers on Garuda Stambha. Because the ecstatic love of Lord, even Garuda Stambha, even the stone gets melt and the prince come over there. So Lord was thinking that Garuda is a devotee of the Lord, and if I stand behind Garuda, there is a chance that Lord may see towards a Garuda and I may get his attention. So this is how even the Supreme Lord thinks when he approaches this lotus feet of the Lord. So here we are discussing that intensely developing the love, intensely developing an attachment towards the Lord. So one has to understand what's the way we to reach. So there has to have a proper knowledge that by taking firm shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord can only deliver us from this nascence. One second. There is this another, I will just in the end quote a story of this Parashar Bhatt, that once he goes out of a town along with some of his god brothers. As they walk out of the town, they take some rest on the under a tree, and as they were taking rest under a tree, one hunter comes and sits next to them. And as they start discussing with the things, and hunter starts saying that my profession is I kill the animals early in the morning. I go to the forest, I spray my net, and whatever comes in that net, I bring them home and I survive on them. And then he said, today morning some different thing happened. As usual, I went to the forest, and today I got 3 little rabbits in my net. So I brought them in home, and I was making arrangements, other things for cooking, and these rabbits were just roaming around my feet. But somehow there something happened. I developed some compassion, and I thought that I should let these rabbits go away. They're just roaming around my feet. So he just leaves them, and rabbits go away. The moment Parashar Bhatt hears this statement from hunter, he just drops unconscious on the ground. So all his god brothers, they wonder what happened suddenly. Just he heard that hunter says, I left these rabbits go, and he just falls unconscious. So when he comes back to the consciousness, he explains the reason. And he says that look at these rabbits, they have no understanding that if they take a shelter of the hunter, hunter will leave them. So out of innocence, they were just roaming around the feet of hunter, and hunter let them go. And hunter also had no obligation to let them go. Whereas we, when you are dealing with the Lord gives us a promise that anyone who takes a shelter at my lotus feet, I will protect them. And we also have a knowledge that one has to take a shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. So if this hunter can do such things, then why should we not have a faith in surrender of the Lord? Many times, you know, we doubt if we take the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, will it work? Will this process is bona fide? But the thing is, look at this a small incident where the rabbit unknowingly took the shelter and invoked compassion in the heart of hunter, whereas the Lord, who is considered as a Bhakta Vatsal, at the same time he gives us a promise that anyone who takes a shelter, I will protect him. And we, a living entity, a conditioned soul, also has a knowledge. So with this knowledge, we take the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, definitely things will work. Lord will definitely give us protection. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that I am a friend of all living entities. I am the well-wishing friend of all living entities. So that's how Lord is so merciful. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still more merciful. That's why it is described, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. This particular incarnation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is freely giving love of Godhead without any qualification. And then we sang a beautiful song where it's described that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya are still more merciful. So we have a very good bright prospectus in this Kali Yuga, which is considered as full of faults. But if you understand this principle of Pada Sevanam, if you understand a proper way, if anyone has to develop a strong attachment to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he has to first take the shelter at the lotus feet of one's own spiritual master, The spiritual master is capable of delivering his disciple. He can award you pure devotional service. We cannot approach a spiritual master for any mundane benefits. With determination and completely absorbing ourselves by serving the spiritual master, we can develop attachment towards his lotus feet, and that attachment will in turn lead us to the lotus feet of Supreme Lord. But while approaching to the lotus feet of Supreme Lord, we have to have a humble service attitude. Only when we have this attitude, we'll be able to behold the beautiful form of the Lord in our heart constantly. So this is what is stated here by Padasevanam, that the way to reach Padasevanam is to render service to one's spiritual master, Vaishnavas, whereas the things that are related to the Supreme Lord like Tulsi or Ganges or other things. So these are the ways, and this is the mood in which one has to approach to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Okay? So is there any questions or comment?